Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we follow the order of worship as you found it, find it printed in Divine Service Setting 1. And please note that the third hymn in our service today, noted by the blank spot on the hymn board, that's the third hymn that is found on the back page of your worship bulletin. We open our service with prayer. Heavenly Father, we have come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your gracious word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts, that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word, so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Welcome to today's worship service. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, we pray the Spirit of our God will be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior God on this, the 12th Sunday of the Pentecost season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of our God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise. The heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you are us.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and always ready to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down on us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us the things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us the good things we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Good morning. First of our Bible lessons on this Sunday is recorded in the Epistle of James, the third chapter. This is the Sunday that we are reviewing the meaning of the eighth commandment in our summer sermon series, which has to do with not bearing false witness or using our tongues in ways that are not pleasing to God, but rather for the benefit of others. And this reading touches on that subject of how the tongue can be very untamable and can speak things that are not to our neighbor's benefit. But we ask the Lord to enable us, always strengthen us, to use our voices and vocal cords in ways that will be of our neighbor's benefit and that serve for the praise of his name. James 3, 1 to 10, 16 through 18. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Here ends the first lesson. We now join responsively reading passages from Psalm 119. The entirety of your word is truth.
And every one of your righteous judgments endures
forever. I rejoice at your word. Lord, I hope for your salvation.
And I do your commandments.
My soul keeps your testimonies. My lips shall utter praise.
For you teach me your statutes.
My tongue shall speak of your word.
For all your commandments are righteousness.
Let your hand become my help.
For I have chosen your
Our next lesson is drawn from Matthew's Gospel, some selected verses from the Passion history that are recorded there in the evangelist Matthew's book, in which we hear about the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus' trial before Caiaphas and the council. We want to note all along how Jesus used his tongue or his mouth or kept silent, and he did it, of course, for you and me, so that he might keep the eighth commandment perfectly in our stead. We read there in Matthew 26, then he, Jesus, came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to Jesus, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
These words are written, and we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you to rise for our confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Word for our meditation today is a verse from the Proverbs, Proverbs 22, verse 1, and also the Eighth Commandment. From Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than gold. And the Eighth Commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, or say anything that might ruin his good name and reputation, but we should defend him, speak well of him, and explain all his words and actions in the best possible way. So far, our text. In the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly beloved of God, wasn't that period of silence, the absence of hearing the pastor's voice, a little deafening? Imagine what it would be like if you could not use your voice at all to speak, if you could not join your fellow Christians in praising God with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs at His house on a Sunday. Or what if you were unable to use your voice cords or vocal cords to express your love for your spouse or concern for your family members, or if you Facebooked someone on your computer and they couldn't use their voice to communicate with you? Thanks be to God, He's gifted us with a gift we may be inclined sometimes to take for granted, and that is the ability to use our lips and mouths, our tongue, and vocal cords to speak and to join with others to express our praise to our great and loving God. Now, with all the gifts that God has given to us in His goodness, the devil likes to spoil. He likes to tempt people to use their voices in harmful ways that God never intended. And this morning in our consideration of our text and the next commandment in our summer sermon series, the eighth, we're going to highlight God's will for us in this commandment, namely that we strive to use our tongues in good ways, to speak words always that will be helpful for building others up according to their needs. And we want to be encouraged to make it our daily prayer as God's children. Heavenly Father, help me use my tongue in ways that will serve to protect the gift that You've given to me and to others of a good name. First of all, notice how King Solomon, in his Book of Wise Sayings, Proverbs, highlights the value of having a good name. He says it's preferable and more desirable even than having riches, vast stockpiles of gold. Why is having a good name a valuable gift of God? Well, it's what determines whether or not other people will respect and trust us. And that's something the Lord our God desires for everyone. And that's why in His Eighth Commandment, He prohibits things like lying about others or to others, defaming others by attacking them with verbal jabs, talking about others in a way that is unloving when they're not around, sometimes called gossip, or saying anything which would not serve to build up and edify others, but which would harm their gift God has given to them of a good name and reputation. A few Bible examples of such violations of the Eighth Commandment I might share by way of illustration. Think about Judas bore false witness against Jesus by telling his enemies where to find and arrest him out of the public eye in the quietness of the Garden of Gethsemane. Not a very loving use of his tongue. Remember the story of Absalom, son of David, who bore false witness against his father when he criticized David in front of others at the city gates of Jerusalem, which was the public meeting place, to steal away their hearts so that they would make him king and depose their father David. And of course, then the men we heard about in our gospel reading who bore false witness against Jesus at his trials before Caiaphas, before Governor Pilate, calling Jesus a blasphemer, an insurrectionist rabble-rouser, to ruin Jesus' good name and to lead others not to trust in him or believe in him as their Savior, and so they could put him to death. Ever since the fall into sin, human nature is inclined in that direction. What the Apostle James wrote in our epistle today is sadly true, that every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And in the eighth commandment, God teaches us, his regenerate children, this is part of the law in its third use for Christians, for those who already know Christ as their Savior, to honor him by endeavoring to defend our neighbor, to speak well of him, and to explain all his words and actions in the kindest way in order to protect their reputation and good name so other people will respect and trust them. A number of Bible examples also of this kind in Scripture the Lord has given for our instruction and encouragement. Positive examples the Lord wants us as his children to emulate in our lives. There's a story of Jonathan, son of King Saul. He was the one that was next in line to be the king in Israel after his father. But the Lord had made known that his choice for the man to be Israel's next king was David, because Saul ended up being a very ungodly king, and so the Lord chose to start up the family line from someone else, all the way to Jesus, starting with David. When an angry, evil-minded Saul instructed his son Jonathan to kill David, Jonathan instead defended David, spoke well of him, and pointed out his good traits to his father. He's going to be a good king, father. Remember how he slew that great Philistine giant Goliath? He'll make a good ruler for Israel. Application for you and me, God's will, is that when we speak about others, we do so like Jonathan, in a kind way. And if there's someone who maybe exhibits traits, characteristics we don't particularly appreciate, that if we talk about them, focus on the good trait that they have. Talk about that. There's also that Bible passage you probably remember from the book of Ecclesiastes. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to speak and time to keep silence. So in faults and foibles that we notice in other people, might be a spouse, might be a sibling, a work colleague, a schoolmate, fellow Christian, God's will for us is that we let love cover the multitude of sins. Ignore, rise above, forgive, forget those everyday petty faults and foibles that we detect in others. Another good example of positive side of this commandment, very beautiful one, is when Nathan the prophet came to King David later on after he became king to speak to him about his double sin of murder and adultery. When he pointed out to David in a tactful, loving way his sins to lead David to repentance. Application for us as God's people today is when concern for God's truth and the spiritual well-being of our neighbor requires us to speak about their sin a lifestyle of sin that they have fallen into, that we will want to go to him in a humble spirit, one fellow sinner to another, like Nathan did for David, show him his sin, lead him to repent, and remembering the heavenly counsel that Jesus provided in Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go to him in a private way. Tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. If not, take along one or two others. If he still doesn't listen, tell it to the church, and all along the way in an effort to lead the person to repentance. Marvelous example of following God's good and gracious will in the eighth commandment for the well-being of others. Now again, as we look into the mirror, that's the main use, of course, of God's law. The first use is as a mirror to show us how we look, not in front of others, but in front of God. Mirror of the eighth commandment, we will need to confess, Lord, I've not followed your holy will in this commandment as you've directed me to do. I've said things to others and about others I wish I hadn't, that I wish I could take back, things that were hurtful to them, not helpful. Not always defended my neighbor's good name, spoken well of him like Jonathan did of David, explained his words and actions in the best way. I know, Lord, you have reason to vent your anger against me, and I deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. The gospel good news that we have come to know and love is that the Lord our God is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He so loved us that he placed his own living word of love, his voice to the world, Jesus himself, his heart, how he thinks and feels towards the sinful world, gave us his living word, Jesus, put him in a stable at Bethlehem, had him live out a life of holiness for us, had him pierced on Calvary's cross to purge away all our sins of the tongue and all other sins, and then raised Jesus from the dead to confirm that it's true. And we now stand before the Lord by faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice as God's holy ones. Isn't it amazing to think about? Because Jesus spoke to Judas like he did, who used his tongue in a very bad way to become an informer against his master for money. Words of kindness to Judas' friend. Why have you come? Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? It was a call to repentance. Because Jesus spoke to a brash, overconfident Peter who used his tongue to make an ill-advised promise. If all fall away on account of you, Lord, I'll never will. I'll die with you. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, when you've repented, strengthen your brothers. And then later on, even called Peter to be a gospel ambassador and to go out and to feed his sheep. Because Jesus spoke words of love from the cross for his enemies, who used their voices to mock him and heap vicious insults on Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because Jesus committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he didn't retaliate, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, bearing our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have now been healed. Our sins, which are as scarlet, have become as white as snow, and our transgressions, which were red like crimson, have become as wool. Pretty amazing. Praise the Lord. As God's forgiven children and members of his holy family, and in view of his tender mercies, let us then offer our bodies in the Spirit's strength as living sacrifices to God, holy and precious to him. Let's endeavor to use our voices and vocal cords always in good, godly ways to speak the truth in love and to do what we can to protect God's gift to our neighbor of a good name. May our prayer be, Lord, let me win my foes with kindly words and actions, and let me find good friends for counsel and correction. Help me, as you have taught, to love both great and small, and by your Spirit's might, to live in peace with all. To the praise of your good and holy name, Lord, the name above every name. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. There are three special petitions we desire to offer this morning. First, a prayer for Bobby Breathauer, who is recuperating from surgery procedure that took place recently. She's hospitalized at a hospital in Longmont, and the surgery was successful, and she's now recuperating, and Lord willing, will be joining us back at the Lord's house as the Lord directs in good time. Also a prayer for the family and friends of Georgia Waters, whom the Lord called out of this life to heaven last Wednesday. The funeral service is not yet determined as far as the date and time, and that information will be shared when it is known very soon. And then also a prayer of comfort on behalf of the family of Ashley Glover. She is a great-granddaughter of Ethel Eastridge, who was killed in a car crash last week at the young age of 23 near Greeley, Colorado. So we offer prayer. Heavenly Father, giver of life, health, safety, and strength, we praise you for having brought Bobby safely through her surgery. We ask that you would be with her during the period of recovery ahead. Bless the means that are being used for her healing, and in due time, enable her to return to her daily tasks fully recovered and eager to serve you in grateful love. Amen. Lord God, Lord of life and death, we give you thanks for all the benefits of body and soul which during her lifetime you bestowed on our fellow Christian Georgia Waters, now living in your mansions. We thank you especially for having brought her to a saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. Comfort the family members and all who mourn her death with your precious promises. Cheer them with the sure hope of a blessed reunion in heaven. Awaken in us all sincere repentance and true faith, that we may ever be ready when your summons comes, and that in the hour of our departure we may commit our souls and bodies into your hands. Fall asleep with joy unto eternal life, and finally rise again on the last day in bliss and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our risen and ever-living Lord. Amen. Lord of love, we also remember in our prayers the family of Ashley Glover, who has been taken from them by death. We ask that you would give them strength that they need in this time of grief and comfort them with the precious assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. May this death remind us all of how quickly our lives here on earth come to an end, and lead us all to use the time you've given us to grow in our knowledge of you and your word. And when you summon us, may we be found in sincere repentance and steadfast faith, prepared to stand before your judgment seat through the merits and righteousness of our Savior. Amen. Lord our God, who deals in mercy and truth with those who receive your promises by faith, we ask you for the glorious gospel. We praise you for the glorious gospel of your grace, for in this good news we learn about your ancient promises of a Savior, which were fulfilled at just the right time when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again on the third day, so that by trusting in him we might be eternally saved. Grant that we may ever acknowledge our own sin and guilt in true repentance, turn to you for your forgiveness, and be cleansed from all iniquity. Give us genuine humility of spirit. Empower us by your grace to escape the corruption that surrounds us in this evil world through lust. And in order to make us fruitful in all good things in the service of our Savior, fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit and kindle in us the fire of your love. Bestow the Holy Spirit upon your church, O Lord, that it may go forth into all the world, bearing your precious gospel and preaching Christ crucified among all nations for the remission of sins and the hope of eternal life. Save your church from all its enemies, workers of evil, and those who would pervert and twist the truth, so that your people may know no other gospel besides the true word of grace to which the Holy Scriptures testify. We pray for our country and its leaders, that all in our land may live in peace, safety, and honor. Deliver us, O God, from every evil of body or soul, and at last, when the hour of death shall come, grant us a blessed end, and take us from this world of sorrow to yourself in heaven. Grant these and all other necessary things on account of your infinite mercy and grace in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. And we also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.